There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
We'll put out an all-points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world order.
Attention.
Government
is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Where's my spectacles?
What do you mean by that, Lou? I don't need spectacles to talk. I'm wearing them, by the way. And bring your music down. This is the Dutch Jones radio program coming to you live. It is Tuesday, the 14th of December, 2010. One more day of grace, one more day closer to the time of battle, but that also means the time of victory. Lou's already asleep. Wake up, Lou. Wake up, Lou. Lou, wake up. Look at him. He's like, yeah. What is it with teenage boys? It's like every time's nap time. Anyway, we're here. We're live. We're going to do a show if Lou can keep from snoring or yawning too loud over the microphone. And what we do here on the Dutch Jones radio program is we bring to you... He's coughing. I had to turn down his mic because he's all asthmatic today. I don't know what it is. I think it's because we went out in the farm fields and did a little stuff. I think because he's... Do you have allergy pills for him?
Yeah, there's some here.
Yeah, why don't you get him some allergy pills because it's getting worse. He sounds like an old man who's been smoking a cigar his whole life. You do, Lou. Listen to that laugh. Does that sound like an old man laugh, people?
Yeah.
Like a raspy old man laugh. Well, we try to bring you information, useful tips, help you do connections, tidbits, whatever, to get you guys motivated. I spent the day, well, not the day, a couple hours talking to a well-meaning individual who is now getting interested in the cause even more. And more, he's I don't want to say part of the problem, but part of the beast. And he saw things from the inside, and he's trying to solve things from the inside now as a retired government worker. But so I spent that day. That's what I did for the cause today. We worked on website stuff. I worked on distributing information through email. And I tried to get my phone set up so that... this is annoying, so that I could get all the old phone numbers off my old cell phone, which was breaking down. And the guy at the store, he said he was transferring my phone numbers, and he just erased them. So if you have my cell phone number and you've called in before and you want me to continue to have your cell phone number, not right now because I'm on the air, but you can either call me and I can capture your number somehow. I haven't figured out how to do that yet. Or you can just email me your phone number to dutch@dutchjones.info. Bad fags all like when I took him. So how do I know you're not a fed? I go, you already gave me your phone number once. Okay. So we do what we do. Hey, Vigilante Eyes New. A lot of people in the chat room. I see Michigan Mary's in there. Scotty, Olima, Minuteman's in there. A few guests. Always appreciate it when people get in the chat room. I know it's kind of a pain. You have to register and all that. But I'm also thankful to people that listen at all the other outlets. Scotty's retransmitting our signal. Ruger the Wonder Puppy's trying to jump in my lap. Move over there. However you listen, that's fine. Just give me an email. Let me know where you hear it. But if you want to have instant access to the show, you got to get in the chat room at ubroadcast.com. You can go to dutchjones.info and get in that way, too. I want to remind you that we have djstore.tk. I always got to remember djstore.tk. We've got some new stuff up there. Is that vest up there that they just discontinued, the Durbin vest?
Yeah.
The Durbin vest is no longer available. Sold out of stock, and majors, they're not going to get any more. So that was the cheapest one. That was our $26 load-bearing equipment. It wasn't really a vest. Thank you, Vigilante. I am glad you've been listening for a while and decided to sign in. Cool. Welcome to the sheepdog herd there. What do you call it? What do you call a pack? The pack of sheepdogs. But Yeah, they're not going to make that Durbin vest. You guys should have snatched them up when you could. They were the best bargain we had for load-bearing equipment. We're still having trouble finding good, complete sets of LBEs. You know, we had those, I don't even remember what they were, Prussian or something, ones that were good from World War II. But we're out. We're running out of stuff. Canteen covers are getting hard to find. You got to buy complete sets. So the stuff is really starting to dry up out there. Although what's funny is people said, well, that's a good thing for the economy. Today they're claiming that the economy grew by like 2.8%. But it's funny because that was just in the clothing and clothing accessories. That's people going out and buying long john socks and underwear because they're listening to everybody that's telling them that we're heading for hard times. So they said that we actually grew by like 1.3%. But if you figure in the prices of cost of inflation, the hidden tax, and the fact that things cost more, no, it's no better than it was last year at this time. It's ridiculous. Auto sale. The real things, food and fuel prices, you know, just going through the roof, if you account for those, there's no growth. There's no growth. They say, well, we've had like, you know, maybe a 2% increase in spending by the consumer and confidence is up and the Fed's not, it's a lie. Complete and total lie. And I've got an article here. Where did I put that? 2.8% gain in sales means nothing when you figure inflation. That's what I'm saying. Wholesale prices are up, rise moderately in November. Like, that's a good thing. Wholesale prices outside the volatile food and energy categories rose modestly last month due to a large increase in the cost of new cars. But there was little sign of inflation in the report, which showed that the weak economy is keeping prices in check. Right? That's a lie. The Labor Department Tuesday said that the producer price index, which measures price changes before they reach the consumer, rose by 0.8%. That's a lie. Because they're not counting in, they're saying there is no inflation. The containers are getting smaller was one comment I got today when I was bouncing this around off people that I like to see what they think. It's not getting better. They're manipulating the system to make you think something's good. The stock market closed at a record high today. It's like over 11,000. Those are people gambling. People are just gambling with their money and with their children's lives. Now, where is this one here? Get rid of that. Yeah, world market steady ahead of Fed statement. This article really confused me. And I'm just talking about signs here that things are, you know, not doing good. Now, this is from London. Stocks, particularly on Wall Street, got a lift today after better than expected U.S. retail sales figures for November ahead of the latest policy meeting of the Federal Reserve. Talk about car salesmanship. Things are doing great. We're up 1.3%. Yeah, 0.5% in Europe on their stock exchange, it went up. It's like this stuff, I don't like to talk about this stuff because, to be honest with you, I think it's all a menagerie, it's all a circus. But the way they're doing this is just, once again, just flaming the fires of deceit. So don't get excited about this. I saw a special last night. They're saying that silver, gold's going to, you know, go at its steady pace, but silver may take off because China recently is allowing their people to buy silver. Silver is far more scarce than gold right now because of the industrial uses of silver outweigh the industrial uses of gold. There's different qualities. And I was talking to a guy at our church Sunday who uses silver in a lubricant that he makes. And he's talking about how they buy silver in bulk on spec. And they do all this stuff to get it. And it's getting harder to get. So they're recommending that more and more people get silver. Tangible silver, not coupon silver. Coins. So those of you that were priced out of the gold market already, but, you know, silver's, you know, still reasonable. You can still take, you know, $50, $60, $70, $100 out and go buy some coins or something. Still a good way to secure and store wealth. It's not a way to get rich. It's a way to secure your wealth because it might stay slightly ahead of inflation, but it's still going to be, you know, the money, whatever you buy today, $25 with silver will buy $25 worth of eggs in 10 years. It's just the way it is. People think that they're buying silver and stuff to get rich. The only way I think you're going to get rich is if you go find it somewhere, figure out a way to go mine gold or pan for gold or just, you know, dig silver out of the ground. And copper's coming up next. We were discussing this. China's, you know, saying we don't want the dollar to be used to purchase oil anymore because it's failing. China, of course, wants to be the world leader. They want people to use their currency. Well, people don't want it. Well, they're going to, like I've said before from this pulpit, they want people to come up with a new monetary, a global monetary system. Copper may be it. Copper's next in line, so maybe you should be investing in copper. Simply buy rolls of copper. We can always use it for something anyway. If you've already got everything else taken care of, copper might be the smart thing to do. It might be the smart thing to do. The phone number is different. It's one day only. Today, don't use this number any other time. We're moving around the valley at different locations for different purposes while Stacy gets her Christmas shopping done. And get your crayons ready. I actually wrote this down with a crayon today on this piece of paper right here. We carry these little TV stands with us that we do the radio show with. And so I was going to write it on the TV stand. But I thought, well, it's just today, so I won't do it. So I put it on a piece of paper. So here's the phone number. Area code 559-346-8362. 346-8362. Calling about anything you want. Stuff you see in the news. The big thing now, another false flag, I think. Some kid in Washington, D.C. on Facebook announces that he's going to blow up the D.C. subway system. And that happened back on December 6th, but they just released the information earlier today. He probably didn't have the means, you know, to do it. He made threats on Facebook. I don't understand that. I have a couple different theories. One is complete, outright false flag. The FBI is trying to make us think that they're actually doing their job, so we get all excited and complacent, and then boom, we have a Mumbai-type hit where we have dedicated shooters all over America doing stuff because we keep going, oh, well, they're doing their job. Let's keep the course. Let's keep bowing down to national security demand. Or the other one is that the Muslims are really behind this, and they're just throwing people out there that are idiots. You know, putting their fodder out front and saying, here, let's let this guy do some stupid stuff so that it weakens their alertness. You know what I mean? You keep hearing the sky is falling enough, you're going to stop checking out the sky. What's the matter, Stace? You're looking for something.
Yeah.
What do you need?
My catalog.
I think you're sitting on the catalogs. Mom needs the catalog. Why don't you sit up and look? I don't know where they went. Yeah, they're on the bed. I left them. I didn't bring them with me. If I did bring them with me, I left them in Vince's car, which is a bad thing. Yeah. So, what do you guys think? Why are all of a sudden are they going after these stupid half-brained attempts at terrorism? England's upped their security alerts because they're afraid of a dedicated shooter type attack, and they've been going nuts for a while trying to figure out what to thwart because you can't stop that. No matter how much barbed wire and chicken wire and chain link fence you put up. The dedicated single guy, you know, with a bag full of grenades and several magazines is going to be able to do what he's going to do. You can't stop that. Unless you live in a society where everybody's armed, and the minute this idiot starts shooting, he gets return fire. The reason it worked in India is they disarmed the people of Mumbai. The reason that they're scared in England about a dedicated shooter attack, no, you know, real low tech, real simple to do, is because the people in England are unarmed. Now, depending on where he hits here, you know, if he did it in South Central L.A., the gangs would probably shoot him up if they weren't working in consortium with him, in concert with him. Or, you know, if he did it, they'd have to do it in a city like New York or Washington, D.C., where they've neutered the people. So that's in the news. There's been reports of, you know, that coming down. One of the other funny things that and I do think this is funny, today, you know, there's the risk if the budget doesn't go through, they have to come up with a temporary spending bill to keep all those handouts going out of Washington, D.C., all the checks going, everybody getting paid. So they had what's known as an omnibus, O-M-N-I-B-U-S, omnibus spending bill, which is basically a temporary, all-encompassing bill for temporary. And this thing, the bill was over 1,900 pages long. It was like a foot and a half high. It was full of earmarks and all kinds of secretive special things. They brought it over to Congress and they said, here, you got to vote on this right away or everything's going to fall apart. You know, bridges will fall, babies will burn, we got to do it. And they're like, no, you don't have time to read it, just vote on it. In fact, they gave them a deadline of Saturday morning to vote on this thing. There's no way anybody could read the whole thing. What they do usually when they get these big bills, they partition them out. They have their people in their different offices read them, and then they give a report because no one senator or congressman is going to sit down and read 1,900 pages of budget. but they have these assistants and these people that will go through it and do their very best to, you know, synopsize it. But it's not going to happen. So what the Republicans, who in this case doesn't really matter who's good or bad, but the Republicans are going to demand a reading of the bill on the floor. That'll slow it down, and that'll postpone it. But what that really means is the government will, like happens here in California, will screech to a halt. This happens all the time in California in recent years. Their budgets don't go through in time. It takes months. They're supposed to have the budget in by June. They don't get it usually till October. So the federal government will come to a screeching halt. They'll sign all these emergency things, and you know, if they're going to make them drag it out over, and it won't be months like it is here, because at the federal level they've got their monkeys well trained, and they'll get something through. But the key thing is to find out what they're hiding in that bill. Why did they do this? Is it just baffle them with paperwork, or are they really trying to sneak something through? Just like they tried to sneak the Don't Ask, Don't Tell through defense bill that was not voted, that didn't pass. They tried to sneak the S-510 in with the VA funding bill. The NASA bill. They're always trying to do that kind of stuff. So this 1,900-page bill that got dumped today, could it be something? Maybe. Could it just be, you know, just raw tonnage trying to gum up the works and punish the Republicans for refusing to vote on anything until they get the tax reform bill, or, you know, tax extension? You know, it's amazing what a mess it is. And you think it's going to be better after they swear in the Republicans? You're completely wrong. I told you guys that this election was going to do nothing. I told you to wait 6 months, and it's not even really taking that long. Here where I'm at in the LA region, I'm not seeing much of any increase in food prices. California is part of the country where there is lots of agriculture, though. I've seen lots of food price increases where we are. We've been marking them steadily. And we hit the discount grocery stores, not to change the subject, but let's take it down where the rubber meets the road. All this stuff they're doing over there eventually is going to end up costing you and me what it costs to put food on the table, shelter, heat, fee, all that to our children. Today I was talking to a farmer who was saying that all this stuff going on, he's doing the best year ever. All the tax loopholes, the secondary type of funding things that they can get, the enticements for farming, they're doing great. So there's some farmers that are doing real good right now. So, but I don't know. I just think that those are little microcosmic islands of success, because people learn how to manipulate the system. And I don't always mean that as a bad thing. If you're going to work in the system, do it. But food prices, I still see, are going to go up. I still think they're going to go up. The containers are getting smaller. My Pringles index, Pringles potato chips, have gone up 60% in the last year and a half. And it's just the way I am. Ground beef has been slowly going up. It fluctuates, actually, a lot out here. Sometimes you'll find it really cheap, and then you'll find it expensive. Crops, depending on weather, depending on markets, depending on all types of things, you've got to keep an eye out for it and see what it really does. And then the delay period is sometimes isn't far because of future markets. People pay what they think the next crop is going to be based on what this crop is. It's like oil. So keep your eyes on all that. Oil, the price for a barrel of oil, I think, hit 90 and then went back down and settled down a little today. Again, all these things that Lindsey Williams told us to keep an eye out for, right? Those of you that paid attention to Lindsey Williams. You know, be looking for these indicators, precursor to martial law. Precursor to martial law. And what do? The same thing we always do. Prepare, pray, preach, reach out to each other, encourage each other, do everything we can to get the tools that we're going to need. And if we're wrong, if God changes the plan, then so what? We've got basements full of food. We've got skills that other people don't have. I think it's good. You know, I try to watch stuff globally and locally and just see how attitudes change and fluctuate. And yeah, more and more people are getting aware and more people are getting upset, but a lot of it's, you know, spinning wheels. A lot of it's just spinning wheels. Just keep watching for the key things. And I get reminded of this by the email. Don't forget about global disarmament. Don't forget about the UN disarmament treaty. Don't forget about it. It's still there. All this other stuff is important, but nothing is important as having the ability to resist tyranny. I had this discussion with this guy today. I kept trying to explain to him that the Second Amendment was about defeating tyranny. It's not about hunting. It's not about poking holes in paper. And it's not about defending yourself in your home. It's all about killing tyrants. The Second Amendment is about making sure that tyrants are kept in check. So the minute the UN, Hillary, and all her goons are able to get this pulled off, ammunition. They take away our ammunition. What good's it going to be? They're doing it here in California. You guys need to learn from our tyranny here. You got to learn from it, folks. After February, we're going to have severely limited access to ammunition. And, you know, most of us are working around it. It's going to turn a lot of us into criminals because, some people are going to go run across the border and get ammo in a free state. Because, in fact, here in California, we do live in occupied territory. We live in a fascist, Fabian socialist regime. Our leaders are tyrants. They're ungodly. They are worthy of punishment from God, judgment from the people. And it's happening here already. We got our friend Batfag who lives in Massachusetts. Those of us that have been living under tyranny for longer than the rest of you, now everybody's living under a certain degree of tyranny, but there's some of us, for stupid reasons, that have been doing it a lot longer. Is that my phone doing that?
It's actually probably both of our phones.
That's weird. I don't know. My phone...
My phone is doing it and you text me.
I was hoping this new phone wouldn't interfere with the audio like that. I don't know if you guys heard that, but it came through the TV. But... Folks, I was driving around today and I was just kind of, you know, while we were going to visit this person to work on his computers and stuff, I said, 5 years ago, what sense did I get driving around? I didn't feel like I was in a Gestapo state back then. Now, the very reality of the tyranny is there. You can taste it. It's palatable. I didn't have a fear of going from state to state, crossing state lines with things that ordinarily I shouldn't have to hide. Things that are my God-given right to carry. You know, and within the system or within the movement, we all point fingers, oh, this was wrong, that's wrong. But the reality of it is that we are no more freer today than we should be. I mean, what's the word I'm looking for? We are less free than we should be. We are less free than we were 5 years ago. We'll be less free 5 years from now. But the matter of degrees. You know, everybody talks about the frog in the water and you turn the heat up on. Okay. Yeah, that's the cliche, but it's true. You can poo-poo that all you want. But our liberties are stripped. Our rights are stripped. They're called privileges. Our money continues to be taken away from us. I like one story today where several cities across the United States, people were indignant about their stoplight cameras that were, you know, ripping all this money off. People rose up, did the right thing, got them taken out. Now it's like a big chunk of those cities are having financial issues because they relied heavily on those illegal fees that were collected. So what good is it to get rid of the cameras if you don't train your government to work leaner? It's a hollow victory if you go fight the tyranny of cameras, but you don't make them come up with solutions to find ways to either cut programs or live with the funding they have. And that's the other thing. Everything I've been watching on Fox News today about this, the new taxes and everything, they're like, oh, you're taking money from the Treasury. No, it's not their money to begin with. The attitude that these magistrates and that these regional, state, and federal governments are owed this tax money, it's ridiculous. It's completely absurd. The paradigm of serving Caesar has to be stopped. We can't just attack the symptoms and go, woohoo, look what we're doing. Even if we ever, 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 ever get some stupid gun law repealed in the state of California, it's not a victory because the mindset of our enemy has not changed and the fact that we haven't removed the enemy. It's not going to do any good if we don't remove that attitude from their minds or, in extreme situations, remove the enemy. People don't like to talk about this stuff. People don't like to hear about it. People don't want to talk down and dirty because it's, oh, that's treasonous talk, that's murderous talk. No, it's not. I'm talking historically, I'm talking practically. Unless we change the roots of this country, everything that I do here on this show is just academic. Unless you have that attitude, it's not going to do anybody any good. And when I share these stories with you, let me find some of these, about things I see and things I talk about, you know, and things I encounter and share, okay, it's just mental stimulation to get you on the right path, and then I'm hoping that you'll discover these things on your own. That liberty given away is never given back from the people you give it to. You don't reclaim it. You can't go to the government and say, hey, you know all those gun laws? I really think you should repeal them. It's not going to happen. you may get some compromises in Hegelian dialect in action where they go, oh, yeah, well, we'll give you this, we'll give you that. No. The truth is that we live under tyranny. The entire globe does. We're just the last vestiges of what little bit of hope there is for freedom here in America. Maybe a couple other places. But until we as a people stand up and start demanding what is basic God-given rights, you know, it's easy to say that, but we need to do it. You need to live it. You need to express it in your lifestyle. You need people to look at you and go, wow, I want to be like that. What? Why is he feeling that way, that he, you know, that he acts that way? What about him? Because until then, the sheep are not going to listen to us. Sheep aren't going to listen to us. We're just babbling off in the corner with our aluminum foil hats on. Because I have this dreaded fear that the tyrants are never going to turn up the heat enough to get the water to actually boil, where people will go, hey, wait a minute, we got to stop this. It's just going to be a slow devouring of our liberty. So slow and so incremental that people willingly go, well, it's only a little bit worse than yesterday. I can tolerate this. I can carry this burden. But when you start, the best way for me is to make people look at their kids. It's hard to do with people that don't have kids. You can't go, hey, look at your dog over there. You got pets? Yeah. You want that dog to live under tyranny? They kind of go, I don't care, it's a dog. But if they look at their kids and you say, do you really want to hand this off to your kids? Maybe that's a way in. Maybe that's the way to do it. Maybe that's the way to get some of these people to wake up. Where did I get? I got some other stuff here. There was an excellent, and I don't usually watch CNN. Where did I put this thing? Oh, boy, when we come back, I'm going to talk about Anderson Cooper and a group of Taliban terrorists that were embedded by this Norwegian guy. And then don't forget, the second hour today is Steve Klein from Code 20, AbolishIslam.com. We'll be back right after the break.
The night before, he tied one on. Now cobwebs filled his head. By afternoon, he called in sick. And then went back to bed. The next day he felt shaky, but he made it off to work. And voted to increase his pay and take another perk. Although the people cried out loud and told him what to do, instead of trying to cut the cost, he increased revenue. Yippee-yi-yo! Yippee-yi-yay! Tax hikes are on the way. And he said, tax them, tax them, tax them. Told it breaks their backs them. Tax them where they run, where they hide. In winter's freezing weather, if we can't tax their sweater, we'll try to tax the hair off their hide. My congressman just voted yes to increase foreign aid. Infrastructure's worn and torn and frayed. While veterans and nation sons become the unemployed, since NAFTA passed those aliens, we'll gladly fill the void. Yippee-yi-yo! Use old-fashioned justice and go out and get a rope and hang them high. My senator just voted yes to pass the Brady Bill. He thinks if he can take my guns, it's him that won't be killed. He doesn't give a hang about the crime he helps create, as long
We hang 'em, hang 'em, hang 'em till their toes are dangling. Stretch those traitors' necks, hang 'em high. Before they up and bust us, let's use old-fashioned justice. Go out and get a rope and hang 'em high. Check 'em out, size 'em up, hook 'em up, bite 'em out. If they're in, vote 'em out. If they're out, cut 'em down. Drag 'em into the court, every traitor is on. Use your vote like a rope. Hang 'em high. Hang 'em high. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Hi, this is Dutch Jones. Just reminding you that while you're there, to check out the water filter section. And don't forget to take a look at our new in-house, in-RV, in-cabin system. People have been bugging us, saying, when's Sawyer going to come out with something that I can hook up to my house and install, forget, and just use it? The system has all the high qualities of the other systems. Over a million gallons can go through it before you have to flush it. It's the same technology. So check it out at dutchjones.info. You can connect to the page there. You can go to DJ Store. TK. It's the Sawyer in-house water filter system that hooks into your entire house system. It's great for your cabin, your survival hut, your shed, your wampum, and just check it out while you're there.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all points bulletins. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world order.
Attention.
Government.
This is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time to
touch Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Getting started. How can I be finished, dude? This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program coming to you from Central California, the voice of dissension among the ranks. This is the Christian militia, militant, resistive worldview. We are not pacifists. We are not Mennonites. What are some of the other ones? We're not going to stand here idly and allow our people, our faith, this nation be taken away from us. Now, we may have to sacrifice chunks of it. Some of them are just so rot with cancerous decay and perversion that we got to cut them away. But there are strongholds. That's why I call this the Stronghold Radio Network. Later on today, in about a couple 20-some minutes or so, you're going to hear Steve Klein, who's going to be a feature host on the new Stronghold Radio Network. He's going to call in with his Code 20 solution to the problem of Islam, abolishislam.com, abolishislam.com. Check it out, abolishislam.com. Now, whether you're in Australia, New Zealand, Pakistan, wherever you're listening, and this is a worldwide audience we've discovered over the months, over the years, the solution works there for you, too. Sadly, I'm watching Fox News. Two active shooters today. One in a school board meeting where he was the only fatality. In Florida, where he went in, spray-painted a V with a circle on it, said he wanted to fire his wife, and started shooting. Strangely, a woman went up and hit him with her purse. Where are the people with guns? And sadly, the second one here in Sacramento, individual in a mall and a barbershop started shooting, and the victim is a young mother. The child survived. The mother is dead. Don't know if it's related. It just scrolled across. Again, I am angry that these people did not have firearms to stop these madmen. Don't dial 911. Pull out your 1911 and plug these SOBs. As Uncle Ted says, I don't want repeat offenders, I want dead offenders. Every time I see these, I know the other side. The liberal scumminess are going to use this against us to disarm us even more. And we all know that a disarmed public is what the criminals want. The little criminals, the day-to-day criminals that are being used by the New World scumminess, and the giant jackbooted thug UN criminals when they come in to rape your children and steal your resources. So be praying for those. I don't know if they caught the guy or not. I'm just watching the scroll underneath Fox, but it's California, so it will be a heyday for the anti-gun activists. That's why we have to be strong and be ready to get in their face. Stop being wimpy. Stop bowing to these people and going, oh, you know, you're right. These guns are terrible. Speaking of that, the next thing I wanted to talk about is all the guns going to Mexico that are fueling the fight down there. Well, you know what? That's a lie. And here, I'm going to give you some numbers, so get ready. 2007 to 2008, they confiscated about 29,000 guns that they claim came from America in these reports. And they're like, oh, look at all this. But in truth, only of those 29,000 weapons that were traceable, only 6,000 came from America. It's more like 17% of the guns are coming from America. And they're being legally purchased. So how do they end up down there? They get stolen. They're not people making a business driving up and down the coast of California buying guns and then selling them south of the border. There is not a business in Texas of people legitimately buying guns. Guns change hands. They end up in gun shows. They trace them back. And, of course, we're the biggest first world country next door. But only 17%. The reality is 17% of the guns confiscated from drug cartel guys come from America. And I would venture to say of those 17%, the majority are stolen by scumbag illegal aliens. Now, they traced 60 guns back to a store in Bell. I think it was Western Guns. And it was this Hispanic-looking owner, not saying anything, I'm just giving you a description. And when they approached him, it was, all these guns were sold legally. Sure they were. Legally to gang members who didn't have records. They recruit people. They keep them out of trouble so they can go buy guns. I saw it. I've worked in gun shops. So the next time some idiot tells you that all the guns in Mexico, it's our fault. We're buying their drugs and supplying them guns. No. Guatemala. Where the death toll is four times worse than in Mexico, we have special forces soldiers fighting a war down there. They're getting their guns from China. They're getting their guns from all over. The Taliban are selling guns. They're opening training camps south of the border. Watch. The third war, I like how Fox put that today, the third war that nobody wants to talk about is underneath our porous border and all those scumbag nations down there that are using every excuse they can and our own aiding and abetting government to destroy our culture with drugs. Zetas in Guatemala advertise on billboards to hire thugs. I saw it today on the news. It was insane. Nobody's doing anything about it. The corrupt politicians allow it. And what they're doing is we're spending your and I's tax dollars to go down there and train their Guatemalan soldiers. As soon as they're trained, they switch over to the Zetas. Gun violence. Ooh. There would be no gun violence if everybody who had a gun knew how to use it and had the moral compass to carry it. I get mad today. Somebody was telling me, well, the only reason we're having all these problems is that you guys pushed this open carry thing. I'm in a man's house. I just let him talk. I disagree with him. It's education. We got to educate people so they don't freak out about guns. What's Scotty put in there? Psalm 37, trust in the Lord and do good. Thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall... Yeah, I like that. commit thy way into the Lord's trust also in him. If we do everything for the Lord, I mean, you know, let's do a little touchstone here. Coram Deo, do it in the face of God. And if I follow God's law, I'm to be armed. I'm to sell my cloak and have a sword. I can guarantee you, were I in a mall and some maniac, some gangbanger was shooting up people, and I had the shot and my family was safe, I'd put him down. Lou would put him down. Stacy would put him down. There is not a doubt in my Christian militant mind or heart that if more people took the responsibility to be our brother's keepers and protectors, crime would disappear almost. It wouldn't go completely away, but a well-armed society is a polite society. And the myth about the Wild Wild West, there wasn't that as much crime as they say per capita. It's far more dangerous today because we've taken the guns out of the hands of the people. It's far more dangerous today when you look at populations. The cities that have grown up are battle zones because they continue to disarm us. I haven't talked about the Second Amendment for a while. I didn't plan to do it. But seeing this thing come across the bottom of the screen just bugs me to death. You want to talk civil disobedience? Let's all arm ourselves. And every time somebody gets arrested, we all go bail them out. We flood the courtroom. We mail constitutions to the judge. Why not? I do it. We do it up here when it happens. We fight tooth and nail for our brothers and sisters that get in trouble because of so-called unlawful possession of a firearm. It's ridiculous. Because we don't stand together. You know what happens? We all hang separately. Wow. It's just, it really made me mad seeing that a mother died because good men in Sacramento were scared into not arming themselves. And this guy got to walk around and shoot up a mall. What's wrong with this country? I remember one time I was in an archaeological dig. I think it was in Arizona. And I'm sitting in my hotel room after a long night of surveying. I just got out of the Army. I'm in college. I'm sitting there with my AR-15 on the bed and my 44 Magnum on the other side. My buddy had his 12-gauge. And there, other students are like, what'd you bring those for? They're like, why do you have guns? Because we brought stakes. We were the guys on this archaeological survey to hang out with because we were non-traditional aged. All the younger kids came with us. We both got out of the military. Next thing you know, we get a knock on the door, and there's a sheriff. I thought somebody complained about the guns. He says, were you guys out at the Reconada Kiva today? Yes. What times were you there? You know, they're getting on this news. And after a couple hours of questioning, like, what's up? They're like, well, four people were found shot to death out there. Because they violated some tribal trespassing and stole some of these kachinas. And the local natives got mad and shot him in the head is what it looked like ended up happening. Door shut, everybody's gone. And they go, because we had to go back out there the next day to a different site. And they're like, you guys are going to bring your guns, right? And I'm like, yeah, you bunch of sissies. Now you want us to bring our guns. I never found out what happened with that. Those four other, they weren't even students or anything. They were just grave robbers, basically. They were out there looking for archaeological stuff. And it happens. You can't go anywhere in America today where you're not a potential target. You're not a potential prey for a predator. Now, in this case, I think if somebody's going out and stealing tribal, what's the word I'm looking for here? Heritage items, maybe they deserve to get shot in the head. That's between them and God. But, you know, I hate it when you find out about these Jewish people that dig up a kiva and have it sent back to New Jersey and they make a hot tub out of it. And it just infuriates me. But why are we constantly allowing ourselves to be sheep to the slaughter just because somebody throws paperwork in your face and says, well, according to what somebody said somewhere else in a case that was decided long before you were born, that you can't have a gun? It's ridiculous. The stupidity of it borders on willful suicide over such trivial things as not wanting to offend anyone. I hate it when I see these things. I hate active shooters. And I pray to God, you know, Lord, why don't you put me in the line of these things? Let me be the one that stops them. But in his wisdom, he sees not fit to do that yet for me, and maybe I'm not fit to have it done yet. But I can tell you there have been several times in my life, not in law enforcement, not in the Army, that I've used guns to defuse situations or repel attackers. It's just a known fact. Several times in L.A., I've stopped everything from rapes, car thefts, murders. I can't, it's happened so often, but I've never had an active shooter. And I hate the fact that I've got the skills and I'm never in the right place at the right time. Not that I desire to take a life. I desire to save lives. And you should have that same desire. Sorry to get off on a tangent here, but that just seeing that just broke my heart and made me angry all at once. Phone number to call in is 559-346-8362. 559-346-8362. We're going to be trying out some new technology. It's better than our old analog system. It's a digital system. We're going to see how it sounds. Give us a call if you've got something to add, something to change, something to say. You've seen something that I missed. I don't spend all my time sitting in front of the news and computer, but I do miss stuff. It's just I have to calm down from that. It's just, especially if you listen to the repeat, you know, I don't know what's going to come of this, you know, what the fallout's going to be, but on first blush, I'm just furious. It's good advice to always have your head on a swivel. Your level of awareness should always be high. This started in according to what I just saw, it started in a barbershop in Sacramento. Different sections of Sacramento, I don't know the ethnicity, could be Russians, could be African Americans, could be illegal aliens, who knows. But it doesn't matter. A woman lost her life, and I don't care what race she was. A mother lost her life. Keep an eye out if they give more reporting, we'll turn it up and just turn up the microphone that's pointed towards the TV. Whew. Give me a second here. I pray for the family. I hope she was saved, that child. Can you imagine living your life and going, oh yeah, when you were two, your mother died covering your body at a barbershop in a mall because somebody decided to shoot. And there were no men gutsy enough to do anything to stop the guy. We live in a pathetic time, don't we? When the sheepdogs make up probably 1% to 2% of the population. I can see it now. You can believe how many times I've been in situations like that, that what I see are butts and elbows, everybody running away. Nobody running towards the danger. That's how I judge a person. They're running towards the danger to make it stop, or are they just trying to cover their own butt? Now, admittedly, if I had my family, well, with these two, I'd probably just tell them to give me cover fire. But if my youngest daughter was around, it would be, Stacy, get her out of here. Lou and I are going to move forward. You've got to have a plan, because that's the plan we have, and we know that. I've cleared buildings. I don't know if I told the story about the guy who broke into the church not too recently, and Stacy and I cleared room to room. We went room to room, armed. Guy heard us coming. I said, if I see you, I'm going to shoot you. And he hauled butt out the back door and got away. I'd rather he get away than me shoot him. But, you know, there was no life or death scenario there. But, you know, I talk tough when somebody I think is cornered. Worst thing's a cornered, scared crackhead, right, guys? So I'd rather he run out the back door and go tell all his buddies, I went in that church, man. That guy, that weird guy who lives over there, wears the kilt, drives a 4x4. He came in church, said he was going to shoot me. I dropped my crack pipe and ran right out the back door. Let it be known that you stand firm. Let it be known that you will not tolerate these acts of violence or impropriety against you and your kin. Let them go to the soft targets next door. I always love the scenario where the guy puts a sign up and says, attention thieves. Let it be known that I am a gun-owning, you know, gun-toting, right-wing extremist, and I will use my guns to shoot anyone who enters my property to steal my things or hurt my family. But my neighbor, who does not agree with me, wants you to know that he is completely unarmed and will not fight if you break into his house. I love that.
And you can help yourself to his stuff.
Help yourself to his stuff. I love that. Now, if that's a myth and you guys are going to say, oh, that wasn't true, I don't care. I've known guys that have taken their targets from the range after a day of training with me, well, even before I got to the church, and they would go stick them on their front lawn with the sign that says, you know, don't tread on me, don't break in here, pick the next house. My neighbors don't own guns, I do. You know, whatever you need to do, we need to start living like men and women of Christ in this country, and this stuff won't happen. It's ridiculous. We trivialize all of this with bumper stickers and t-shirts, but the reality is when the rubber meets the road, what are you going to do when that guy pulls a gun at the barbershop at the mall? Do you got a plan? I know you can't plan for everything, but you got to have at least something. And that's what we're doing here. And that's why we're looking for other like-minded people. I talked about it last night. I hope I did. I needed to. My pastor's bugging me. We got two homes, folks. Two. Count them. Two vacant homes. It's courtship. You check us out. You're a Christian man. You have a Christian family. Come up here, be part of the solution instead of part of the problem. Now, one of the questions I got was, hey, but you guys don't have internet and my business is internet. Well, you live on the ranch property and you rent a 5 miles away in Three Rivers, you rent commercial property that has proper internet. That's why we're trying to get in there. And we're still working for that. A lot of people have made some promises, and we're praying that they come through. And but if you want to come up here and run an internet business, that's probably the best thing to do. You got one of the things we really need up here is if you were into chainsaws and small engine repair, you could open your own business up here because there's one guy doing it. He's a great guy. He's a patriot. He's not Christian, but he's overworked. I have dropped stuff off at his place and 3 months later gotten it back.
Well, he couldn't find a part for it.
Yeah. Yeah, I did embellish on the wording, Minuteman, on that sign on the lawn. I couldn't remember the exact sign. Minuteman says he has a picture of it, and he says it's real about the guy telling him to go rob my neighbor. but yeah, you want to come up here and check us out, courtship, train with us? Come up for one of our open training systems on the third weekend of every month over the next 12 months. Bring your family up, camp, stay in one of the homes, see if you like it. Courtship. If you're very interested, I'm going to give you an email address to talk to our pastor. I'm just the recruiter. The real stuff comes with him. Get your crayons and strawberries ready. This microphone almost fell on the ground. And I'm going to give you the pastor's personal email address. Get ready. It's lausdeo@cwo.com. That's Lausdeo. lausdeo@cwo.com. Tell them that you heard about the Church at Kaweah on the Dutch Jones radio program and that we have homes available and you want to start the process of seeing if we get along. You may get up here and not like us. You may go, them Christian rednecks is all whacked out. They're all into history and such.
We're scared.
We've had people run away scared.
And they're carrying guns.
And people go, why are they carrying guns? Other people come up here and it's the other way. All they care about is the militia part. They don't care about loving Jesus Christ. It has to be a balance, folks. It's not cut out for everybody. But let me tell you this. They accept a guy like me. Run with that however you want that thought to go. You want to get a grad-level education in American heritage and Christianity and the manifest destiny of God's hand in all of our history, then we're here for you. And you're willing to work, you're willing to help us build, dig, put in infrastructure, we need you. We need people with skills, we need people with heart, but I'd rather have a guy with heart than skills, let's put it that way. Yeah, email it to me, Minuteman, and we'll post it up on the website. Luke can put it up there tomorrow, if you can find it. I've seen it for years. I remember when I was working at Lytle Creek Shooting Range, people had them up and they were giving them away, handing them out. Folks, let me look at the time here. I got about 6 minutes till we skip on over to Liberty Tree Radio and we put Steve Klein on. He may call during the show. Bear with me. I'm fumbling with a new phone device thing here. I'll get him on the line and we'll hand the show over to him after the top of the hour. Before then, I just want to implore you, if you haven't made a donation for December, please do. Go to dutchjones.info. The website's been down for a while. I appreciate you letting me know, but it's back up now, right, Lou? It's on a new server. Hopefully we won't get another attack. What do they call that when they attack? Is it denial of service? What is it called, Lou? Yeah. Denial of service attack. But that's okay. That means we're doing something right, right, guys? Well, we need your financial help. We've got to get this other storefront up and running. We've got to get good DSL, and we will go 24 hours a day. I'm also looking for people to be hosts. Now, if you want to be a host, you got to donate. Unless you know you're living in a cave somewhere and you can't afford it, and you've been a supporter for this show in some other way, or you can in material kind do something, I'll give you a show. I'll give you a couple hours. But if you want to do a Monday through Friday 1 or 2 hour show, we're looking for about a $200 a month commitment per person. We've got to get this thing up and financially stable, and it's going to be a career and a missionary type thing for this family. It's going to be our outreach. And we'd be praying for us. If you can do nothing else, pray for us in that cause. Pray for people to come up here and strengthen our ranks. Pray for us to get enough donations. We need about $500 a month to open a storefront because it's $350. Lou, are you chewing on your toe?
No.
Look at that. You're like the most flexible kid I've ever seen.
Well, Auntie.
Yeah, Auntie is more flexible, but he's older. I mean, I'm amazed. You're very flexible. Go ahead, do that again. He can literally... Wow. He's like putting his toe up his nose. I wish we had a camera. Can you turn the camera on?
No.
See, you can't even hear it. He sounds kind of nasally because his toe's up his nose.
It is not.
Where's that foot been? Do you know?
Yeah.
Were you barefoot all day? I couldn't when we were out on that ranch?
No.
Okay. Anyway, I'm sorry I got sidetracked, but it's freakishly weird. He's like 4 feet from me, and he's putting his foot behind his head. He's putting his left foot behind his head, and he's balancing on his fingertips on this bed. You're going to fall down and hurt yourself. We're going to send you to the circus, boy. Oh, man. But anyway, we need your help, financial, prayer, manpower. Let's get together. Let's organize. Let's do this right. Keep the spirit of the Lord in it. And make sure we do it. Lou, why don't you find some music? I need a break and get this phone thing set up for when Steve Klein calls. So, folks, we're going to take a little bit earlier break. Just he's going to play a good song here. And we'll be right back on Liberty Tree Radio and Stronghold Radio.
The rules, the things that matter to me. Like driving on beaches and a license to fish in the sea. I used to live like a gypsy, I'd camp by the side of the road. Now they just move me along, there's nowhere to go. Well, I'll give up my gun when the ocean runs dry. Fireworks were always a family affair.
Mary, send the IM again. I deleted it.
Turn up to join the event of the year. Oh, there were crackers and sparklers and rockets and fountains and shells. When they took them away, they took some of our freedom as well. Doesn't shine. Now I lock up my house, lock up my car and my shed. If I try to defend them, I'm likely to get locked up instead. Because the scumbags got lawyers and rights, so the law lets them be. While the honest, hardworking get shot, fight to stay free. I'll give up my gun when the birds don't fly.
Come on, Bugsy. Go home. You're a good little fella. Come on, Trongo. Get the hell out of me. Come on, mate. You done good. Your mother would be proud.
You're very happy with me, Ed.
Listen. Did you hear him?
Well, I'll give up my gun. Runs dry, and I'll give up my gun when the sun doesn't shine. I'll give up my gun when the birds don't fly.
6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
I'll give up my gun when politicians don't lie.
Hey, I'm out walking, but what are you doing here with that gun?
I thought I took all the guns.
You didn't get them all, mate. You're not having this one.
I'm after you.
Hey,
we'll get it. Take it away.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones radio program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all point bum. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention!
A new world order.
Attention! Government is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Well, that blows the lid, doesn't it?
Blows the lid. I don't think I ever heard him say that one, Lou. That's pretty interesting. Welcome back, or welcome if you're just tuning in on Liberty Tree Radio. This is Dutch Jones on the Stronghold Radio Network, joining our sister our big sister station who helped us get started, Liberty Tree Radio. Welcome to everyone over there, all points around the world, especially welcome to our folks in Michigan listening. I was chatting on IM with Michigan Mary. I had just given out Pastor Warren Mark's email before, and she had emailed him and said, he sounds like he's really busy. Right now, he is really busy. He's speaking before the Montana legislature in January on oaths and covenants in their inaugural political big doohickey thing that they always do when they sign in the new electees. And this is a huge thing for us, getting a militia pastor. You know, Montana, you may be saying he's preaching to the choir. So if he hasn't gotten back to you, don't take it personal. This man gets 1,000 emails a month, and then he gets more from people that are unsolicited. So when I tell you to email him, if you want to find out more about the ranch up here in the Church of Cahuilla, give it time. He will get back to you. We may have to assign someone to filter through his emails, Lou. And what we'll do is we'll make sure he gets the ones where he needs to respond to. So I apologize, especially to our friend Michigan Mary. He hasn't forgotten about you. In fact, he talked about you at church on Sunday, like knowing that you were there. And as always, I like to give up my microphone here. This is Modern Day Campfire. You guys know Thursdays, Pastor Warren Mark Campbell speaks. And well, today, without further ado, are you there? Hello.
I'm here listening and hope that you can hear me.
Yes.
Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you loud and clear. We have Steve Klein from AbolishIslam.com, the founder, the promoter, the man behind Code 20. And it's Tuesday, and I'm going to share my microphone with him today. How are you doing today, Steve?
I'm all good when I'm talking to my good buddy Dutch Jones. Had a ball the other day trying to send the wild boars to their 72 virgins. Sadly, they were too clever for us, but we did get an unwily turkey did get into our crosshair, so we had a lot of fun.
So I take it the turkey made it home okay, and the family received their hunter?
I believe the hunter had a lot of fun cooking up the unwily turkey.
Well, there we go. Well, if you don't mind, I'd like to kick off. They caught another guy who said he was going to blow up some stuff in the United States today, and I have my reservations about trusting the FBI on this one, as you know. But a young man, they haven't released his name yet, on Facebook said he was going to blow up the D.C. subway and said he had pipe bombs. Where does this fit into cell warfare and the whole Muslim or false flag type struggle?
Yeah, the false flag type struggle. This is good for the Code 20 people to find out about this. Now, the Muslims will turn their own brothers in. They do it. They've done it over 14 centuries. They've done it frequently. In fact, the Prime Minister of Kosovo, Hashim Thaqi, the snake, you can look him up online, Hashim, H-A-S-H-I-M, and Thaqi, T-H-A-Q-I, murdered 40 Muslims and tried to pin it on the Christians of Milosevic. And this is common in cell warfare, going out, giving up their own people, etc. We had it in Vietnam a lot with kind of a different way, with a lot of false information. For example, anybody that's stupid enough to go on Facebook and post this stuff to me, and I think you agree, Dutch, probably is a patsy setting himself up, sending out a lot of false information, probably never intended to do it at all. And then the FBI can come back and they can say how great they are. Another example is, since 9/11, there's been no major attack in the United States. And so a lot of people attribute that to George W. Bush. I do not. I attribute it to the Saudi Arabians, but I think the Saudis were just completely flabbergasted and stunned at our vitriolic response to 9/11. I think they were just shocked that Americans were actually enraged. I actually briefed a number of police in Southern California, and they said, when will the next 9/11 be? And I said, I don't know, but I do know this. It won't be until the Saudi Arabians are comfortable and feel strong enough to do it again. And so when a lot of people say George Bush kept the Muslims at bay, I don't think so. I think it's the Saudi Arabian royal family holding the boiling, simmering, almost boiling kettle down. And this right here is classic cell warfare. False information, misinformation, you're sending out. When I was in Vietnam, you and I were laughing about it earlier today. They said Tinkerbell and Disneyland and Pinocchio were coming out to get us. I'm being silly, of course, making a point. But every night they would say, 100 guys are coming after you. 200 guys are coming after you. 1,000 guys are coming after you. 6 billion guys are coming after you. And after a while, 2, 3, 4 weeks, a month, month and a half of this, you start getting jaded. And you just start becoming fatalistic. You're trying to be as sharp and bright as you can. But you come to a point where you just say, you know what, whatever happens, happens. So I think a lot of this stuff is just trumped up and made up, making the FBI and these guys look like they're really protecting us. They're not.
Exactly. It's it's bad on both ends. And meanwhile, what I think is happening, the real guys, the real threats, whether they're triggered by, you know, New World Order or they're self-motivated Muslim terrorists, are laughing and figuring out how they're going to do it.
Yeah, you ran into that the other day when you guys took on the offshoot of the Muslim Brotherhood. I'm not going to name them because I know they're listening and recording and whatnot. But when you guys went in and you did an outstanding job of just having the courage to show up there, I'm still so proud of you guys. Just showing up, that takes a heck of a lot of courage. And then you guys, just by using a few key phrases, a few key words, almost like age fighting and mixed military, mixed martial arts, you guys just flipped those guys all around.
Well, it's recon by force, like we've talked about before. Just go in there and see what they can do.
Exactly. But you guys are so well prepared. Most people, I'm a little leery, a little worried to send them into frontline stuff. When you guys told me you were going in, I was like, yeah, I clenched my fist like a touchdown just got scored, and I went, ah, these guys are going to do awesome. You did.
Yeah, and that's the key, especially with this cell welfare. That's a whole other show. Cell warfare deal that you're promoting, and it's nothing new. It's been done throughout the ages. No. It makes sense, and it works well in this. I was watching an embedded Norwegian photojournalist, video journalist with the Taliban in Afghanistan on Cooper 360. And in reality, the Taliban guys are not that well trained, that well prepared.
No. Clueless. They're absolutely clueless. I mean, given our modern weapons and everything else, for them to face off against our guys directly is suicide and insane. So hence, they've gone to their own Code 20 type strategy. They're on every college campus. They're in all these mom and pop gas stations and hotels. They're doing their Code 20. Anybody that takes on any of the modern Western military forces with stuff that those guys are using are insane. And so, however, they have done a masterful job in the United States, United Kingdom, Australia, all over the world at doing their own network cells. So the only way really to counter that, especially since our Pentagon, Homeland Security, FBI, CIA, are all in bed with these guys getting paid off all the time, and that's easy to prove, that doing a Code 20 type program is really, it makes a lot of sense. It's actually safe. It's easy. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take any resources whatsoever. You just get in a car, drive around, look for a few gas stations, go in there to the front desk, the counter where they sell candy and stuff. Just look at the guy. Just look at him. And you'll be able to tell, yeah, it's a Middle East Muslim. And if you ask them a few, they just say hello or something. If they're unfriendly, there's a 99.9% chance it's Muslim because Muslims are unfriendly.
Well, and you may say, well, where I'm at, there ain't a problem. We had dinner Saturday night in a nice little Mexican restaurant up here in Three Rivers, and what was sitting behind us in the booth?
Yep, two Muslims.
That's why I was kind of speaking a little loud to see how they'd react. And I remember when I walked in, I asked the matron, or the what do they call her, the hostess, if I could wear my pistol inside. She said she had no problem with that. I could tell they didn't like that at all.
No. Well, what's really interesting is you and I picked them out in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Just walked in. It took us just a flash of recognition, and we knew exactly. And they just looked like, you know, they were what, maybe 19, 20 years old. They looked like college students. They looked like they'd be okay. But the Muslim Brotherhood on every major college campus, including junior colleges throughout the whole United States. I'm going to shift gears on you for just a second.
Go ahead.
So, and some of the ideas with Code 20, with the Emergency Response Family, which you came up, that's a great acronym, the Emergency Response Family. And thinking, you know, we got 48 30-minute time slots when we start rolling in January. And thinking about, you know, for just $50 for 5 days a week for 30 minutes on the radio, people can do Code 20. They can come on the radio and say, hey, I live in Des Moines, Iowa, and I saw some real suspicious guys at the 7-Eleven in downtown, blah, blah, blah. I'm just throwing out numbers because Dutch is the boss, folks, not me. Like for 5 days a week, for 30 minutes a day, $50 for a month. And if you want an hour, $100 for 5 days a week.
Yeah.
And that way, you guys win. You guys out there listening, you can have your own radio show. And we're bringing in money. And we can really start cranking this stuff up with some high-powered websites. Dutch and Lou and Stacy, Pastor Warren Campbell, have done an awesome job of setting the stage for all of this stuff. We can't depend on the government, just the opposite. Those guys, we all know they're bad news.
Right.
But growing these radio shows, communications in SMEAC, battle planning, SMEAC, situation, the acronym situation, mission, execution, administration, command and control, go through there. Teaching battle planning is actually extremely easy. The hard part is, well, it's okay to sit at the desk and learn, but golly gee, Gomer Pyle, you got to go out after you learn how to do this. And like Dutch said, you got to do a recon by fire, or people are actually shooting at you. In Code 20, it won't happen, not for a couple of years.
Right.
But, yeah, so I want to just pitch that radio idea. I think that's okay.
Yeah, I think that's fine. You know, we'll work it out. You know, you got to remember there's not 24 hours available because I have a two-hour show. You're probably going to have an hour show. So there really is going to be more like 20 hours available.
20 hours.
But then we can always launch additional streams too. So, you know, that's
exactly
what we'll do.
Exactly.
And a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and people go, well, they want all this money. They want all this money. What are you going to do? What are some of the ideas that you had for what we will do with the income? Now, we've talked about a few things. Of course, we're going to assist our brothers and sisters all around the globe with education, training. You'll hear us repeat things on here. Anybody that's a good trainer, like he said, SMEAC again. The reason we repeat these things is it's got to stick in your skull. So the money we're using will be to put together slideshow presentations, videos. The type of training that we get here, I want to share with you guys. The best way for me to do that is videos. So the money's going to go to do that kind of stuff.
Just the video that Steve Lee does down there in Australia where you just watching all the different guns that that guy's got, just training in itself.
Yeah.
Just watching the different guns. For example, when we went out pig hunting the other day, one guy had a 270. I was using a 12 gauge with double aught shot because I was figuring I'm going to be his backup. He might start at 150, 200 feet away, and if the pig gets through, by the time he gets to me, he's going to look like hamburger, literally hamburger. But just starting to do that stuff now, you take it from the animal world and you bring it into the world of the Muslim, knowing there's some interesting things about these guys and thinking about this in Code 20, where they use cell phone technology, they use email, they use the internet, they use all of this stuff combined together for beating us with their communications. For example, they use cell telephones and pre-program the suicide bombers so that if our soldiers shoot them to death, they can still detonate them from 10,000 miles away. They can detonate them at any, you know, in 5 minutes or 5 days or, you know, five. Once then the soldiers and the Marines know, once they kill that guy, not to approach the body because they can detonate using cell phone technology. My son, I actually have a picture of him. It's my screensaver. He's got $100,000 in cash in $100 bills. He's a senior sergeant in this picture in Iraq, and what he was doing was he was commanded through the Pentagon, through the State Department, to pay off this contractor. Well, the contractor, my son, knew he was an assassin.
Great.
And the contractor was being paid for filling in the bomb craters from the IEDs. And my son and the other guys had figured out that what they were doing when they filled up the crater, they put explosives back into it.
Recycling.
And triggered it. Yeah, they set it up with a cell phone, put it, the cell phone, somehow, however they did that, through their technology.
Oh, sounds like we lost you. Well, guys, we're going to try and get them back here real quick. Let's see here. I got to do this. Give me a moment here, fellas. Let's see. And then let's go. How do I dial them? Let's see if we can get them on here. We'll be working on this. That's one ringy-dingy. That's two ringy-dingies. That's three ringy-dingies. I think he's on a cell phone somewhere else. Let's try his other number. We'll try his other number. I hope he's not driving. You know, that's the one thing. If you call on the show, make sure you have a good stationary position high on a mountain where there's a good repeater. But I love this. I love this ability to be able to just call him back. Oh, it sounds like he lost his line. See, he was talking about something really good there.
I lost you. Sorry, man.
Yeah, well, you were talking about good stuff, brother.
Yeah. Who knows what happened.
You cut out right when you were talking about him hooking the cell phone up when they were recycling the bomb crater to hide another IED.
Right, exactly. And this is being taught through the United States, United Kingdom, Australia, through the Muslim Brotherhood and their child called the Muslim Student Association. So rest assured that while they're sending out false signals like this character going on Facebook saying he's going to blow up Washington, D.C., then the Keystone cops zero in on him and ignore the Muslim Student Association who are learning how to use cell phone technology to pre-program suicide bombers so that in the near future, 1 month to 30 years down the road, as these characters mainstream through the colleges, then they get good jobs. It's interesting to me. They all go into electronics, physics, and to the high-tech industry-type things. They'll mainstream in. They can come and do a job for Dutch Jones or Steve Klein They could put a bomb in our unit that we don't even know about and have it set up so that 60 days, 90 days, 100 days, a year later, you and I turn on our computer, and then they just key in a number from their cell phone and they blow us up. That will start happening sometime soon throughout the globe and through the United Kingdom, the United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, etc.
Now, I heard a threat that went out today from England, UK, that they're afraid of an active shooter threat like the Mumbai, which works well in an unarmed society. Do you think there's any reality to that, that they will take 10 guys, load them up with grenades and AK-47s and unleash them on the UK?
Well, yeah, that fits in perfectly with an unarmed society, and that's one of the reasons why I like going to the church at Kaweah, because I walk in with my friend the other day, and there's a guy sitting there with a 9mm Glock and a shoulder pistol, a year in the back, and I'm feeling really confident. Or you have atheists that are trying to do a mirror image opposite of Pastor Warren Campbell's The Old Path Conference, and then they want to come out. And it's interesting to me, they went to your website, they looked at Dutch Jones and his friends, and they pissed their pants in fear and got panicky, and they wouldn't even show up, which is, see, that's a peacemaker. Just the very fact that we are armed where we go, and the bad guys know that. The Muslims know when I go out that if they assault me, I will kick their ass. They know that. So they never do anything to me. They always go out after the weak link. So, yeah, if I was a battle planner in the United Kingdom or in Australia where they've taken away their arms, why worry? Then you can just ratchet it up and be like the Wild West. In Kaweah or Texas or Arizona, that's not going to work.
Exactly. And in Mumbai, that was one of the lessons learned there. They had just unarmed the civilians of Mumbai in India. They were allowed to have guns, but the ammo had to be locked up, and nobody in public had a gun. The police were mostly unarmed. So I don't know if we'll have a threat like that in America. The reason I made that point is the technology is our real enemy, these hidden destructive devices. Yeah, and the key
Absolutely.
Thing is that comes to tactical awareness of the guys and women and stuff that are involved with Code 20, the support families and things, keeping an eye out for that stuff. And we all hear some Muslim lady went in and bought 40 cell phones at Walmart. Now, a lot of times I track those down and those aren't true, but that stuff is going to start happening here. Go ahead.
That's a good point. That's a great point. They're not going to do it in a block of 40. They're smart enough. They're going to lay low just like we're laying low in the Code 20. They're going to have 40 different people in 40 different zip codes purchase 40 different phones and program in 40 different area codes and things of that nature so that when all hell does break loose from those 40 explosions in those 40 different phones, it's really difficult to establish just exactly what happened. But, yeah, they are actively using electronic warfare as we speak. I know I was an electronics warfare officer years ago when our level of sophistication was high tech in those days. It was clearly low tech compared to today. The stuff that they're doing today, just using the cell phone technology to trigger bombs is absolutely incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, but that doesn't mean they won't throw low-tech away. I mean, garage door openers and switches are still something that are going to be in their toolbox.
Yeah, like the Viet Cong took our old C rations, the wires off of them. They took old grenades and bombs that hadn't detonated, and then they would bamboo and string the wires so that when somebody stepped on the bamboo, then the electric contact was made off of old C ration wire, and a C ration wire connected up to the daisy chain and dead cord that our guys had thrown away, and the next thing we knew we had just a mess of dead soldiers and Marines. So they will use both. Yeah, the guy talking about pipe bombs in Washington, D.C. is definitely low tech. And once again, that's part of their cell warfare, their guerrilla warfare, so that people still have this thought pattern that they're a bunch of ignorant barbarians. They are barbarians, but they're not ignorant.
They're methodical.
They're resources. Yeah, they're very patient.
Yeah, that's the one difference in our paradigms as far as how we shape the battlefield. We want immediate response. We want, you know, we want artillery, we want air cover. They don't have that, so they learn to work around that and work methodically through the battle plan. They would rather kill you where you sleep, where you think you're safe and have a psychological victory, than figure out how to launch a missile at you on the battlefield.
Yeah, and they'll just do it like a drip, 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 one person today, one person the next day, three people the next day, whereas we think in terms of D-Day and Tarawa, Gettysburg, 50-some-odd thousand guys in a pitch battle for 3 days. No, they'll just, war of attrition, they'll just wear you down. So, and of course, we do not operate like the zombies, the redneck zombies, the crazies old and new, and the Shaun of the Dead. I'm being facetious because you and Lou and the other guys are. That just tickled me that you were
good
talking
training.
About that. But that's good stuff.
Yeah.
I had something written down here, but it'll come back to me. The code 20 and thinking in the 5-step program of the proper theology. And most people, when they hear the word theology, they think turn the cheek. They think reconciliation. They think, can't we all get along? Well, that's the ultimate, but that's like the idea of the peacemaker. When the atheists wanted to come and harass the guys at Kauai, they took a look at what Dutch had put together, and they were too terrified to show up, which makes it's a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers.
Yeah.
And so the right theology. Yeah, the right theology. And once again, if they came on and they injured Lou or they injured Stacy or whatnot, I know what Dutch would do, and I know that I would drive from where I live 6 hours away immediately up to Kauai to help out Dutch.
Yeah, that's how we have to do it.
That's how we have to do it. That's a very loving thing. So the Muslims, guess what? The Muslims are going to leave the Church of Kauai alone. That's peacemaking. So that's the right theology. The Romans 13, where it says the civil magistrate wields a sword. He is the revenger of God. Now, the sword is not given to the church, but certainly the pastor can walk outside of the church. Dutch is in charge, and the pastor follows orders from Dutch. And so the people in that community, rightfully so, in a good, loving Christian attitude, are terrified to mess with you guys, which, once again, guess what? It's peacemaking.
Yeah.
It's a great thing to do. Yeah, so the proper theology and then, of course, arm. And a lot of people get too hung up on, you got to have a .44 Magnum, you got to have a .338 Winchester, you got to have an RPG. It's like, no, get you a .1022 Ruger, one of the best rifles, dependability, so you arm yourself, and .22 bullets are dirt cheap. And then you link together with 3 to 5 families, which the Church of Kauai has done, which I have done. We're linked up down here. We're expanding our links, which reminds me, I got to talk to you about that guy the other day that I've got to get in touch with him.
Okay.
And then you have the proper, proper organization. For me, the doctrine, and it's interesting to me. A lot of people say, we're Christians, I'm not interested in doctrine. When I was an officer in the United States military, it was really funny to me because when you get to the officer level, you're not so much hands-on. It's mostly philosophy and doctrine, doctrine, doctrine. So that when we went to battle, it was like memorizing football plays. Yeah. We knew the doctrine. We knew what to do. We knew vertical envelopments, horizontal envelopments, and all the other stuff. So the doctrine of the Mayflower Compact, Declaration of Independence, the Article 3 of the Northwest Ordinance, which is online, and also the Constitution minus slavery, and then prepare, prepare, prepare. I love going up to Kauai and watching all the stuff there, watching how Dutch works with the guys and evaluates them without, they don't need, like my buddy that came down, you didn't say a word, but you were evaluating him the whole time.
Right.
I stepped back about 30 feet, kept my mouth shut because I knew exactly what you were doing. Dutch and I make a good team, even though I'm much younger than him.
Yeah, and better looking.
well, I don't know about the looks, but I am younger. No, I'm 60, and you're how old?
I think I'm 7 or 8 years old now in dog years, so I'm probably 45. Yeah, about 45.
There you go.
I got different birth certificates. 45. I can't keep track.
But
well, that's like, yeah, I was born in Kenya too. I know what you mean.
I got a really good question here from Mike, who sat across from you at the dinner table after church. He says, "What about working on safe houses, auxiliary retreat areas, and stuff like that? Is that something Code 20 should be getting involved now, building a underground railroad?"
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a great question. So I don't know how far Mike is from Kauai, but
30.
It should be okay. Then there should be safe houses, baby steps, alternate routes. What if you have to come in the back way, cross streams, and things of that nature? In fact, Sunday morning I got up early and got on the road, and instead of turning right to go back into Highway 198, I turned left and followed up all the way to the end of the road.
Nice.
Where And so I just wanted to familiarize myself. One of the reasons why I wanted to go wild boar hunting there was so I could walk back there and see how difficult the terrain was and things of that nature, which it was. It kicked my fanny, but it was a good workout. I liked it. But, yeah, Mike, you're absolutely right. And 80-year-old people, 20-year-old people find that safe house. If it's wartime, it doesn't matter if it's male or female, as long as you can trust them. Even if it's people that don't hold the same exact theology, you're close enough that you know that they're not going to turn you in. They're a friend. Friend in need is a friend indeed. Grab them. Absolutely.
Now, we have an ideal situation in our stronghold up there because we're, you know, one way in, one way out, mountains.
Yeah.
We can control the terrain until they, you know, bring in aircraft. But what about folks in cities? Do you have... And in fact, I think Code 20 in cities are going to be more active than we are. What kind of advice do you have for folks organizing in cities?
Yeah, the Code 20 works perfect. For example, get your supplies and have them in your house. Don't tell anybody except for your core group what you're doing. Your spouse can be talking with your compadres and whatnot. Here's the interesting thing about the urban area. Visualize World War II, the long lines of the Jews peacefully just walking to their deaths. That's what I envision. They'll come on their loudspeakers or whatever they have, and you'll see a long line of people walking to the high school gymnasium. Gee, don't join those guys.
Yeah.
Do everything at night. Wait until night. Make sure you got enough. You may not be able to use your car. You got to have your safe houses and things of that nature, like a spider web. You're going to leapfrog, like playing checkers, leapfrog from one place to the next. And nighttime's the best time. Stay away. Get away from those guys. In the San Joaquin Valley, you have tule fog if it's during that time. I know the Viet Cong and the North Vietnamese Army, when I was there, they would wait until it was heavy monsoons. And a lot of we couldn't use tanks, we couldn't use supporting arms, it was a driving rainstorm, and then they would come hunting us. So the same thing, if it's a driving rain, and the visibility is knocked down, people are upset, they're not paying attention, they don't want to go out in the rain, use the weather to your advantage.
Which is funny, because it just started raining here right when you started talking about that.
but in the urban areas, the stupidity and inexperience of the people walking or driving in long lines over to the high schools allegedly to get their food and water and whatever will actually be a cover for those who are skedaddling out of the area. So you see long lines of people walking like sheep or the Jews in World War II, then the authorities' attention will be drawn to them. Wait till it's dark and then have your route planned out. Walk it a few times to make sure you can do it. We used to rehearse ambushes and rehearse our patrols and things of that nature to make sure we could actually do it.
Now, one thing that I want to bring up, watching the news all day, looking at the riots in Haiti, France, England, I think there was another one there was new rioting today in Italy. Now, these Muslims are going to exploit this instability and also for recruiting the disenfranchised youth because they're all Fabian socialists. But even more so, food collection points, people seeking to get away from the rioting are going to be soft targets.
Big time.
Yeah.
Big time. So that's why I say do it at nighttime. Make sure you got your route pre-planned. As Mike said, have your safe houses, you know, a couple of gallons of water, some food, some aspirins, change of socks, things of that nature. Because rest assured, you know, combat soldier in his load, a lot of people don't think of that, having humped all over Vietnam. I was only on a helicopter three times at all. Had to hump the rest of the time. Oh, my God. That stuff weighs 500,000 pounds, you know, a box of sea rations,
yeah.
You know, several bandoliers of ammunition, hand grenades, trip flares, pop-up hand poppers, and the rest of the stuff, you know, it just adds up. And most of us, we're not 18, 19 years old anymore, so trying to lug that stuff around, good luck.
And if you know now that you're not fit to do that, you need to make plans. You know, you need to come up with bicycles. You need to come up with alternate transportation, shorter leaps and bounds, more caches. You know, and of course, you should be striving to get your body in the best possible shape ever. I mean, God doesn't want flabby Christians. But make the plans now. I mean, you're not going to have huge victory if you don't plan. Period.
Yeah, take your time. You know, if you're 30 miles away, you don't have to be there the next day. You could be there
that's
in 3 weeks. You could do 1 mile a day, if that's all you can do. I mean, one of the things the Viet Cong and the North Vietnamese and, you know, in Grenada, especially the Muslims, they'll lay around waiting for you for 3, 4, 5 days. They won't even move.
Yeah, why give the advantage to them?
Exactly.
And it's one thing, like, if you learn in patrolling, and maybe you could back this up unless things have changed. In patrolling, it's really about inches. It's not about kilometers or meters or whatever measurement. It's about inches.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we would go on a kill team. We would only go a half mile. It'd take us 4 hours.
Yeah.
Helmets, no flak jackets, just the magazine that we had in the rifle. We wouldn't even carry a radio. They knew the route that we were going to go was a short route, but no kidding, 4 hours. And, man, I could hear my ears. I could hear the blood in my ear just throbbing.
Boom, boom, I actually,
boom,
yeah.
You know, the adrenaline was so pumped and just, like you say, moving so slow, like watching a cat, a bobcat that's going to pounce on a squirrel. That bobcat might stay still for an hour and a half before he finally jumps.
Okay, now to the uninitiated, we may, you know, it may sound like, wow, I don't have this experience. I'm not with a militia. I'm just one guy and maybe my brother-in-law and, you know, and his kids. On a smaller scale, what are some good things that they can be doing as far as actually training? You know, we talk about getting together, theology, getting your stuff together, but there's got to be other ways to teach your family, observational skills, coming up with communication systems, secret codes. What do you recommend for the uninitiated who's just getting started?
Yeah, there's some great resources, believe it or not. Following exactly what you said, the early Mormons under Joseph Smith and Brigham Young had some great devices that they used. There's a very short book. It was the first of the Sir Arthur Conan Doyle Sherlock Holmes books, and it's about the terror cells of the LDS.
Right.
And the name of the book is A Study in Scarlet. A Study in Scarlet. And so that the people coming on board with the Dane Bates and the Avenging Angels and those guys, how they would work through that. But you'll learn passwords, code words, how to move, how to operate, secret signals and signs. The Masons are good from that. In fact, most of the stuff from the LDS is stolen from the Masons. They would, in the English Civil War, following along with the Book of Revelations, I think it's Revelations 1:3. I'll look it up here. That in Armageddon, when I believe it was Armageddon, when Jesus comes back, he'll be wrapped in a golden sash.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the yellow ribbon for the soldiers comes. That goes back to the English Civil War, so that Cromwell and the Roundheads, when they were fighting the Cavaliers, they would wrap a yellow big ribbon around their stomach, huge, like 18 inches, was gigantic. It almost covered their whole chest. So, yes, and you don't want to be quite, okay, here it is. It's Revelations 1:13, and in the middle of the lamp stands one like a son of man, clothed in a robe reaching to the feet and girded across his breast with a golden girdle. and that's where that yellow ribbon comes from. The yellow stripe on the Army soldiers' dress uniforms goes back to that. So you want to have something that doesn't really stand out, so you can take a yellow ribbon and put it over your left shoulder and drape it down around your right side of your waist and just make it maybe an inch to an inch and a half across, and people would look at it like, well, it's kind of funny, but then if you had 10 or 15 guys in a crowd of 100 to 150, then those 10 to 15 guys become almost invincible. And if you go to that, it's online. It's called A Study in Scarlet. And it's about, the story starts out in London where Sherlock Holmes tracks down the murderer who happens to be a revenge killing because Brigham Young has kidnapped this girl who ends up committing suicide rather than giving sex to him. It's a very fascinating story. It's only about 60 pages long. But you'll see how they have it networked through cell warfare, organization, underground, codes, signals, garments and things of that nature, so they could tell themselves apart from the rest of the public. That's a good way to go. Another one is, this will sound, these are real simple. Another one is just get the old Mario Puzo, the Godfather, with what's the name of the old guy that just died, that was the star of
Marlon
the Godfather?
Brando?
Marlon Brando. Yeah, that was all based on, that was all cell warfare, code 20 type stuff, how they operated the triangle of violence, so that, like in the Muslim terrorists, you just imagine a isosceles triangle going up to the top. You have less percent at the top of the triangle as your suicide bomber, probably 1 in 100,000, 1 in 1,000,000. Below that, you got your trigger pullers, you got your Al Qaeda, your Taliban, and those guys are probably about 5 to 10%. And then underneath that, you got about 20 to 25% of the active population. Like in the United States, that would be your guys working behind the counter at the gas station. He's watching. They're all by the military bases, watching the military insignia to find out what's their job, what unit they're with, and then they're linked together. Part of that group would be the owners of the mom and pop hotels and motels where they can secret away the suicide bombers and the bad boys that they're, you know, keeping out of the limelight, waiting for the day down the road. And then you have the vast majority, probably 30 to 55-60% of the cell structure is in the silent group. The silence is consent. The people who know that all of this is going on, and they are taking their resources and dropping off $5 here, $10 there, food here, food there. If the guy gets sick, they take care of him, things of that nature. So the mafia works the same way. The Godfather could not operate without that vast, silent group of people who knew who he was. They all knew when they needed a favor or they wanted to whack somebody, they all knew to go to the Godfather, and then he got something in return. On cell warfare, we are looking for things in return, but we're not looking for murder and extortion. We're looking for agape, is the fulfilling of all law and taking care of our families and things of that nature.
One of the other things that I've noticed is to build an esprit de corps is essential, too. And
yeah.
I think you should look for exercises. You know, I hate to use military terms when I do this show. Look for things that you can get out in the woods and do. Start taking your families camping, you know, not just with the goal of sitting around the fire making s'mores, but actually teaching them how to navigate with a compass, teaching them how to be competitive with one another, teaching them how to do fire starting. All these things are critical. They never have to start a fire as a Code 20 member. But the team building, the skill building is critical for the mindset to be a problem solver. So take these times now, when we still are living in a period of grace, to exercise your family's minds as well as their hearts and muscles.
Yeah, absolutely. Right there in front of the church, start off with a real short walk with some really good supervision, with the intention of having to use teamwork to get across that stream without anybody getting hurt or drowned.
Sure.
Right in front of the pastor's house, start up the church, walk with the family half a mile, and then show them how to use ropes, how to tie knots, how to get across that stream, girls, boys, old people. And you'd be surprised. Old people got a lot of wisdom in there. If you can get them across that stream or at the end of that road, they can help out. Their eyes work good. They're smart. They're thinking. They see things that don't fit in, like the two Muslims that you and I saw in the restaurant. I mean, to you and me, they were like a neon sign. Here we are. You and I just, boom, we nailed it in a heartbeat.
Yeah, it was. People were like, "What? Why do you keep looking over your shoulder?" I didn't like having them off to my, you know, my six like that. But it's just kind of where I had to sit.
Exactly, yeah. But you're absolutely right. That esprit de corps and a little bit of physical fitness, walking up that steep hill the other day when we were going up to get the pigs, got up to the top, saw what was up there. It started off with father and son and have a team going up there, and a lot of stuff, real easy. And then the boys, the younger boys, like, I get a kick out of Lou. Lou is indestructible. He's got a great attitude. He's got a lot of confidence. It's clear that Dutch has worked a lot with Lou, and I really enjoy seeing them working together. And Stacy does an awesome job, because I know for mothers, this has got to be a terrifying moment. This is my boy. What are you doing? And Stacy is wise enough and lady enough, Christ-like enough to have the confidence in Dutch to let Dutch move Lou around. We had that incident with the turkeys where you and I both said, "Hey, go in there and go get them." And he was like, "What? Go get them, go get them." And then Lou was like, "I don't know what to do." "Good, you'll learn. Go get them." And that's got to be a gigantic confidence builder. So that's one of the things I want to start doing with the Kalia, working with you. I want to come up there more and more just to help out and get some of that stuff cranking and going.
Well, Minuteman comments, and he's involved heavily with the Boy Scouts. It's critical that we get these young men on the right path. I see nothing wrong with the Boy Scout paradigm. I really don't, especially the old one. I don't know about the modern one, but I had friends that were in the Scouts when I was a kid, and they would shoot, fish, hike, camp, fight, do everything. Yeah, you find some of those old Boy Scout manuals, get a bunch of young men together, Lou's age, 14, 15, 16, and start coming up to the church. I open an invitation in the first hour. Our facility is here for Patriot Christians, period. You want to come up and say, "Hey, can we use it for 3 days? You know, and we can work something out."
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to do a conference where there's groups and different stations where the first you have maybe like a 2-day conference, but it's not sitting on your fanny in the chair. You've got, say, 60 people show up, so you've got 10 groups of six, and you want to have the dads with the sons, and I see no reason at all why the gals can't come, and we can work with them. And so one station goes up to the top of that hill, and they learn how to make a tent. Then they go from there, and then they learn how to build a fire. It's amazing. Dutch can build a fire. Myself, the other guy, Preston, who was up there, Lou can do it. But building a fire is a great skill. It's very easy once you master it, and it was fascinating listening to Dutch coach Lou. Now, what are the three elements you need to have for the fire and blah, blah, blah. But if it's driving rain or snow, or you're absolutely fatigued beyond the limit where you can barely lift your arms or take another step, it gets really critical. And survival, about 90% of it is your comfort, being able to stay warm, dry out your clothes, tie a few knots, build a fire. So I would love to see something like that. Bingo. And the families, why couldn't husband, wife, two or three kids, says, what are you going to do if everything falls apart? Gee whiz, now it's for real, and people want to kill you, at least up there. Well, maybe Lou would, but the rest of us aren't going to try to kill the people.
Yeah, I keep trying to turn Lou off his cannibalism research kick right now. He's starting to scare me. Somebody suggested we should have our own Boy Scout troop up there called the Kalia Commando. What was it called? I got to look at it again here. I got to switch to Facebook. Excuse me. The Kalia Company Commandos, all with K's, though, and then he realized it would be KKK, so we can't do that one.
Well, one of the things that I like is Fishers of Men.
Yeah.
Fishers of Men, and the reason is twofold. One, the church has driven the men out, so we're going to fish for the men, bring the men back.
Yeah,
bring the men back.
We could start out small, like you said, just the basics. And sure. More and more Christians have abandoned this. I've seen touches of it and flavors of it, and, you know, in your seeker-friendly churches. But drag some kids up there and, you know, make them fish and eat their fish. Make them, you know, make them snare something and eat it. You know, make them build their own fire. Make them build a shelter out of the stones and sticks that we have up there. You know, test their mettle.
When we were cleaning the turkey, do it when everybody can see it, and have them stand there and watch so that they start getting in and just say, hey, stick your hand in there. Yeah, there's some guts. Yeah, there's some blood. Stick your hand in there. Hey, get the mousse out of your hair. Get your hand into that blood, gooey turkey or chicken or rabbit or whatever it is, that fish. Because when everything falls apart, that stuff's all, you know. Yeah, fishers of men, doing it properly, which I know Pastor Warren Campbell and Dutch and myself and the rest of the guys, you know, you have a really impressive crew up there. I really enjoy coming up there, being around the guys and the gals, and it's just a really, I would encourage anybody within 100 mile, even a 500 mile radius. I drive 300 miles to get up there and start there, and then once you see how Dutch and Pastor Warren operate, then bringing it back to your people. And like me, I brought one guy up there, and I'm going to bring up a number of guys over the next few months, and they'll start catching exactly what this is all about. If you're in Australia or the United Kingdom and whatnot, then there's other things that you can certainly do. And like Dutch said, you can go fishing anywhere. And just the very act for children to clean a fish, you know, to cut, gut, and clean the fish, overcomes a lot of the sissiness. You know, you got the blood and the guts all over your hand and stuff, the scales, but you start becoming what you're supposed to become. We need men, fishers of men. I love that concept of fishers of men, bringing the men into Kauai, and then we can send it back out, because that's one of the huge problems in the church, whether it's Reformed, dispensationalist, seeker-friendly. They're all, man, the first thing they do is they just cut their gonads off.
You know, could you imagine we run these folks ragged that are willing to trust us. They go fishing, we cook, we have a meal, and then as we're sitting around the campfire that they had to start themselves together as a team, the pastor breaks out his ukulele and we start singing Stay on the Firing Line, King Alfred's War Song, Our God is a Mighty God, and we're singing these around the campfire with the moon and the stars up above. It's awesome. We've done it a couple times, you know, with people, but it's time that we start opening the doors and inviting these other like-minded folks in.
Even if they're not Christians, we can talk to them like Article 1, Section 8, Clause 10, the Law of Nations. Well, how do you develop rules of engagement? How do you know when you're going to kill somebody and not kill somebody? How do you know why you're doing this? What do you base this on? You just make up your own rules as you go? Yeah, and so everything is right there. And I know a lot of the gals, the women, the wives, are terrified they're going to lose their family. Well, wife, come up, keep your mouth shut, let the men do their thing. Yeah, it's going to be new, it's going to be frightening. And once again, I watch Stacy, and she's a lady's lady. She just does a great job. My wife is the same way. It took my wife a while to figure this out. But golly, gee whiz, men are made different than women, and guess what? Yeah. Women, if you let your man be a man, he's going to do something you're not used to. He's going to take care of you.
Yeah, especially in this day and age.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got it set up. I mean, we've got our own airsoft rifles. We could set up force-on-force training. But people aren't ready for that yet. We've got to build their character first and let them know that they can depend on their hands and feet. But first, they got to depend on God.
Amen.
And be willing to come to
that realization. Yeah, that's why the whole five-step program starts with theology. You got to depend on God. You're not going to depend on Dutch or Steve Lee in Australia or myself. You're going to depend on God. And then the family unit, and then it builds into the church, and then from the church into the government, which the Church of Kauai, I mean, you got your own civil government there, which is,
working
man, you guys are you way beyond everybody else, way beyond.
Well, like I was reading the letter that you CC'd me to the pastor, or BCC, or however you termed it, and I liked your attitude. Come up for 3 days a month, do some training, do some fellowship, but also build something. Get these kids up here and put their hands to work for the kingdom of God and say, hey, even if it's an outhouse that we build with cinder blocks, they can say, hey, when I was up there that one weekend last summer, look what I did. I made something that will be used for years to come. You know, have them build bunkers, LPOPs on the hills. I can't imagine the fun we can have on those hillsides building fighting positions and pre-staging them, you know, for just even the airsoft training.
Exactly. Yeah, the very fact that a young person could get to the top of that hill, I would say it was probably, what, 500 feet higher from the...
Almost exactly.
Which to most people, that's, you know, 500 feet. Oh, really? I did it the other day, and I was gagging. Of course, I'm 60, but I'm in, for a 60-year-old, I'm in pretty good shape.
Yeah,
but you get the kids at the top of the hill, and then they're proud of themselves. They've done something. And then you put them up there, and you show them land navigation, how to watch the stars at night, the Big Dipper, the North Star, how you could never get lost. You can use a map. The kids, they are all fired up. They got their dad or their mom up there. Hey, we will help people get to the top of the hill. A Dutch, a part of the American military, is you never leave anybody behind.
Nope.
So we will get everybody up there. Yeah, you might get a blister. Yeah, you might throw up. But, gee, when the poop hits the fan, it's going to be you versus the world. And like Mike said, get your safe houses, get your family together. You'd be surprised what a 13-year-old boy could do. You'd be surprised.
Oh, look at the wars around the world. Look at what the youth are doing. Look at the French Resistance. Look at the American Revolution, the ages. Look at the American, the war of federal aggression on the South. The youth get an unsung place in that. A lot of people don't realize it, that unfortunately the way things work out is they carry the burden in the future.
And today we're so used to, well, they can't use a computer, they can't do calculus. Well, when I went on ambush in Vietnam, we had 12-year-old boys, 80-year-old men. We all worked together. We helped the old guys. We helped the young guys. And we were pretty much an invincible force. And when you got Lou, you get a couple of other kids his age up there, and before you know it, you can do some seemingly impossible things become extremely easy. In fact, after you do them several times, it becomes boring.
Well, Steve, we've run out of time. That went fast. If you want to find out more, go to abolishislam.com. Don't hang up, Steve. Stay on the line. I'm just going to disconnect you so they can't hear you, but you'll be able to hear me. This has been 2 hours of... this has been liberty. This has been talking about fighting back to get our rights back, fighting for Christ, meat and potato stuff. We're not pulling any punches. The invitation's out there to continue listening every Tuesday to Steve Klein from Code 20, abolishislam.com. That's abolishislam.com, abolishislam.com. Special thanks to Liberty Tree Radio for always, always carrying our signal. I appreciate that more than I can ever prove. I thank all of our pod people listening around the world, around the clock, downloading this show and sharing it. That means everything to us. So whether you're in the United States, Australia, behind enemy lines in Pakistan, wherever you are, just know that the sword is heavy, the battle is hard, but victory belongs to the Lord alone. But he's asking you to stand in the gap, and we have to stand in the gap together. Go to dutchjones.info for more information. You'll find military manuals there. You'll find lists. You'll find resources, links. You'll also find the chip-in. If you like what we're doing here and you believe in the cause, make a monetary donation, but pray before you do it. I don't want to hurt your family. I don't want to just diminish your Christmas. I don't want to diminish your tithe to your church. But if you've got extra and you think what we're doing here is right, go to that chip-in, or you can send it to the post office box. Send this stuff to the post office box. And thank you for always listening, and may God bless you in all you do in the holy cause of liberty.
I promise you.